This is Leo Babieu for KTWH, 99.5 FM on the radio dial, your Two Harbors Community Radio with a lake view. I have an honor and a pleasure for this morning's show to be speaking with Liz Jacola of, actually, I don't know your whereabouts, Liz. Why don't you name your place? I know you're with the Oshkegijik Singers, who will be performing at our Cabin Fever Reliever this Sunday, March 10th. The showtime is at 3 p.m. We've been so looking forward to for a couple of months now. You're coming to visit us, but maybe you could fill us in on where your life centers, and we can learn more about your group.
Sure. Although I kind of like that, being enigmatic.
Oh, from out there in the ether. Yes. Okay, Liz, yeah. If that undisclosed location. No, I'm not asking for your street address, Liz, I promise.
Well, I'm really happy to be, on the radio and able to talk a little bit about, Oshkegijik and myself. I'm from Fond du Lac Reservation. I grew up here. I still live an acre from my childhood home.
Oh, wow.
And the reservation overlaps with the city of Cloquet, and I live in the overlap. So, if you want to say like the best of both worlds, I guess I have that. Oshkegijik Singers is a group that has been together for a very long time, and it began from a dream that I was going to be singing with a hand drum with a group of women. Singing with a hand drum for me is an extension of my spirit. My official name, if you will, is Netana Gamokwe, which means the lady who knows how to sing well. I received that name in a ceremony. They say that our spirit names, as they're sometimes referred to, our Indian names, are already present, even if we know them or not. And then the elder who is asked to find that name then tells us what they learned that the spirits call us. So Netana Gamokwe is that name for me. And so that means that, a lot of what I do is through singing. And having had that dream about singing with a group of women, I felt compelled to follow through and make that happen. So Oshkegijik Singers, we weren't called that from the beginning. We had a much longer, cumbersome name. It was something like Lake Superior Area Women's Hand Drum Singers or something like that. And over time, we developed the relationship with the women that come to sing and the name Oshkegijik, which means roughly New Day Singers, came about.
Can you fill us in on why New Day might have been appropriate?
I think that knowing a little bit about women's hand drumming in Native culture, or specifically Ojibwe or Anishinaabe culture, might help with that. The tradition of hand drumming, that was one of the first drums, those smaller drums, that was part of the culture prior to colonization. And anybody or, not everybody had drums, but anybody could use a drum or have a drum. And there were specific uses for that drum. There were specific understandings about how to be in relationship with a drum. We consider our drums to have spirit, and we take care of them, and they help take care of us. So over time, with the introduction of the powwow drum and those traditions, some people thought that it was only men who were supposed to be singing with drums, with all drums. And that just isn't the case. There are many kinds of drums in Native America, many kinds of drums in Ojibwe Anishinaabe culture. And each one of those drums has a set of teachings, a set of protocol, knowing what to sing with what kind of drum, knowing what kind of song to sing for a certain event or ceremony. Like, those types of things evolve over time, sometimes over a lifetime, that kind of knowledge. And so, I can understand how some people might think like, well, I heard that, women aren't supposed to sing with drums. Well, some drums have those expectations or those teachings, okay, but not all drums, and definitely not hand drums. So when I started singing with a hand drum, I was then asked by some elders if I was going to start a group. We didn't really have group singing like that or with hand drums that, you know, that I'm aware of prior to, like, we didn't have performances like we do now, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We didn't have need for that kind of a performance practice. Prior to colonization, drums were considered part of our music culture. Singing with drums was part of the music culture, but there were many different kinds of needs, many different purposes, you know, with singing. But we didn't have like a concertizing performance practice, right?
Okay.
And now we have performances. And so we will get together and practice for a performance when we're asked to, depending on what kind of an event it is, you know, determines what we kind of preparation there is. And sometimes we know months in advance, and other times we only are asked minutes or hours in advance to sing for something. But we're always happy to do it, and we're always happy to get together and share what we know about Ojibwe women's music.
We have the pleasure today of speaking with Liz Jacola of Fond du Lac, a member of Oshkegijik Singers, who will be on stage at the Two Harbors High School on Sunday. And Liz, we had a nice conversation before we began the formal interview, in which I tried to diplomatically get you to convey what the membership size or variety is of your singing group, your hand drum group. And needless to say, maybe you should explain that you are a multi-membered group, but depending upon the context.
Yeah, thanks. That we have like a pool, a roster, if you will, of singers who currently sing with us. Those will show up for practice, those who are able to come, you know, when we're doing different things. But I can't be certain how many will be there until like right before we sing. And it leads me to have a little bit more kind of, you know, anxiety perhaps about whether.
Does it keep you on your toes then? Is that what you're saying?
It keeps me on my toes.
Okay.
But I tell people when they ask us to sing, I say, okay, I will guarantee three, but we might have seven. And an example, last weekend, we were able to open for Spider-Woman Theater was here doing a production of Misdemeanor Dreams. And then this is a huge honor to open up performance for Spider-Woman Theater because they are one of the female Native American theater groups that has existed for over 40 years, close to 50 years.
Wow, I did not
and
know.
So we were able to open for them. And I thought, the day that it was Saturday, I thought that maybe I was going to have to tell my 11-year-old daughter, okay, I need you to come sing with us again, you know, because I didn't know who was all showing up. And as it turned out, there were five other women who came, and had she agreed, we would have had seven. But she had been singing all day at the honor choir event at Superior High School. So she said, no, Mom, I'm tired of singing today.
Yeah, although it would help to live with some of the members to get a beat on how many are showing up on any given day, perhaps. But wow. So
it has to be that way, because in our community, and, you know, and I'm not saying that it doesn't happen this way in other communities, but definitely in the Native American community in, you know, around the Twin Ports, people are, you know, in that kind of survival mode where something will pop up. We have, unfortunately, a lot of job insecurity sometimes. We're taking care of our extended families.
Yes.
And of course, as any family, there's illness. There might be somebody whose car breaks down and they, you know, they live a little farther, or they have elders that, you know, suddenly fall ill. So in trying to gather the singers for any event, I have to understand that those things are priority.
Yeah.
Over me asking them to come sing for an event. And I just always say, if you can come, I will, you know, be so happy. But if you can't, I understand, because, you know, the work might call, or, you know, we might have a tragedy, you know, in the community.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, so, I mean, it's just, to me, it's realistic, even though it is a little bit unnerving sometimes.
I guess I'm hearing that every new day can bring a challenge for the new day singers.
Yes, absolutely.
And you rise to meet it, but not always the way you might have expected yesterday.
Right.
Wow. Well, Liz, can you tell us a little bit about how the group got to be an established group? I mean, at first, were you generally just singing in the community on occasion, and then the gig request just grew out of, how did the awareness of what you were doing and how wonderful it was get to the broader community outside of Fond du Lac?
I'm not sure.
But you're certainly gigging a lot now, and there had to be some kind of way that yeah. you got notoriety, and I'm sure it had a lot to do with the spirit and the energy of what you delivered, but it hasn't always been the case that we've always known what our native neighbors are doing in this Northeast Minnesota community, and I'm impressed. You seem to be among the groups that gained that awareness some time ago.
I think that the, you know, not having like this performance element,
right,
and well, and also tied to the fact that Native music in general was illegal for about 100 years, officially until 1978. That's within my lifetime, you know. And the music that was happening that was more public-facing was powwow. And then that grew, you know, from that point. And now you can find a powwow everywhere, right. Anywhere, any weekend of the year, there's a powwow happening somewhere. And the women's music was not quite there. So in the 90s, there were a few women's groups that were singing and gaining some audience outside of our communities as well as within our communities. One of them was Sharon Day's group, Nikonis Singers. And Sharon's from Boyce Fort. She okay. currently lives down in Twin Cities or near the Twin Cities. And she has always been somebody I admire very much and kind of became my mentor over, you know, a long period of time. And when I first started singing with my hand drum in the 90s, it may have been in response to knowing that there were these other women groups, you know. And then, like I said, I dreamed about it. And in our culture, dreaming is very well understood as an important way that we get information, whether it's, you know, from our own understanding of our subconscious or whether it is from, you know, like a spiritual place where we believe that we have, you know, visitors come to us in our dreams and tell us certain things. But in either case, it's thought that if we are to fulfill who we are, we have to follow those things that come to us in our dreams. And of course, it's not just any dream, not like the dream where you're, you know, wandering around Dairy Queen in your, you know, flip-flops and, you know, suddenly somebody tells you to look at the, you know, elephant or whatever, you know.
Hey, that was my dream just last week. How did you know? Yeah. Not that kind of
dream.
You know,
dream. But, you know, so then we're taught how to honor those dreams by doing our due diligence in following through with them. So that was in the 90s for me when I started singing as an individual with a hand drum, and I had had that dream about singing with a group of women. And as I started to travel around in Indian country singing with different women in different communities, the elders were asking me, well, when are you starting your group? And I said, I don't know.
That wasn't on your short list at that moment? Or well, you hadn't quite recognized the dream?
It was a little scary, you know,
yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a big responsibility. And then knowing how some people feel about women singing it with drums, women drumming and singing, I thought, well, if this is something that I want, that I've been instructed to do, I will take the responsibility for my own activity in that way. But to invite other people to do it with me felt a little like, you know, recruitment, and I don't want people to have to be challenged, because it is challenging in many ways. But the more I talked to women in the community, I found out there were lots of women singing with hand drums, and they would like to get together with a group of women to do so. So we have had gatherings probably the last 17 years Not every year, of course, because, you know, that's hard to maintain something like that every year, with, especially since we pay for it out of our own gig money. Yes. We don't have too many opportunities for funding. But we've had gatherings, and over the years, I think the last time I counted, which I just started gathering this data about us trying to prepare for our 20th, you know, we had about over 150 women who have come and sung with the group or come to the gatherings. And some of those ladies have then gone on to inspire other women to sing as well. So in Minnesota, there I know of at least 3 or 4 different hand drum groups of women that are doing what we do. And right. that's pretty exciting, you know, to think of. And I always, again, defer back to like Sharon Day, and her sister Doreen is a fabulous singer. But Sharon had the group Nikonis, and also then Yula Lee. There were some other groups in that era, Walela, I think, that were doing this, you know. So people say, well, you were the first. Well, no, we weren't. But we want to make sure to acknowledge those that have done this before us. But also maybe in this area, you know, we were kind of the, you know, the people that started doing it in northern Minnesota. So.
Yeah, so fair to say that you maybe led the way, at least for Minnesota hand drum women's groups.
Right, well, you know, with the support of others.
Yes, indeed.
You know,
Yeah, somebody had to go first, and it sounds like you were ready for first.
At those gatherings, we always invited elder women because we knew that we need to include their perspective in everything that we do. So there were people who joined or who came to our gatherings either at our invitation or they just came and they offered advice. They shared techniques with us. They shared songs with us. So it's really a collaborative, process, and trying to, you know, pinpoint who did what and when. That we don't follow that, and we try to acknowledge when we sing a song where it came from, how long we've known it. You know, we give all the history of it to let people know that it is, we don't live in a vacuum. We don't sing in a vacuum.
So Liz, are you many times offering people kind of their introduction to group singing process? Do people come to you as kind of newbie singers in general, or just new to the concept of singing in this collective?
Sometimes they are brand new singers, and other times they have sung in other ways.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what
in
I was
chorus
wondering.
Or yep. You know, or maybe they're singer songwriters or whatever.
Yeah.
But singing and drumming simultaneously is a certain skill set, and sometimes when the people come, it's their first time doing that.
that's a challenge to be mastered, simply playing while singing. I know I can't do two things like that at once myself, so I really respect that.
Yeah, some people, when they come, they'll just sing,
okay.
And they won't drum.
Okay.
And then sometimes, because our group, because I don't know who's going to show up when, right? When we get a group gathered to sing, and then I say, okay, who's here? What songs are you most comfortable singing, or what songs do you want to sing? Sometimes, and we have a catalog of, I don't know, maybe 75 different songs. Not everybody knows all of them. And some of them are trickier than others. Some of them are older songs, so they have a little bit more of polyrhythmic quality to them. And they're, you know, they're hard to do. And some of them are more like kid songs, so they're easier to do. But depending on who shows up. And so somebody will be like, well, I haven't been here for a while, and I really miss singing this one song. Can we do that one? And the song that is like our namesake song, we call it the New Day song. I made it intentionally a little tricky, just to kind of push people, you know, to learn the trickier stuff. Anyway, so somebody will say, well, I want to do New Day song. And other singers will be like, I don't know if I'm ready for that one. And I tell them, okay, but let's just do it anyway. Because our performance style is not, I don't think of it as intended to be perfect ever. It goes right in line with cultural practices. When a master bead worker makes a bandolier bag, they intentionally, which sounds awkward, but they intentionally leave space for what we call the spirit bead, or a mistake.
Right.
Something that does not flow with the pattern. To give, you know, that respect to all of creation, knowing that we are imperfect beings. As much as we try to do beautiful things and make beautiful things and sing beautifully, we are imperfect beings. And so to me, it is more important that Native women feel comfortable using their voice, that they are encouraged to be loud, be encouraged to sing loudly, to be the focus of attention for a moment while we're singing, than to tell them that they need to be perfect about it. Because in so many other musical settings that I have experienced, oftentimes that's what has made it not such a pleasant experience for me. And I know that Native women, especially for a myriad of reasons, are not encouraged to speak out about their experiences, to speak out in a large space, anything like that. So I know that Native women have not always been encouraged to speak out about their experience or to speak loudly or to be the center of attention. But there are times when we must. And I want to encourage Native women and children and Native people in general and all people in general to speak out with confidence, to use their voice in a way that commands the attention of the space so that they can live their best life. So Oshkegijik Singers to me is about that, much more than a perfect performance. So if that person, that singer that comes to our group feels nervous about singing, but they're going to do it anyway, I tell them, okay, let's do it. Let's go. I don't know that song. That's okay. You know how to drum, right? Yeah, I can drum through that song. So some songs that we do, only a few of us will sing and others will drum. Other times, somebody will not drum. They'll just sing because doing the both together is challenging. And we, in our song form, let's say I start, I'm going to do this New Day song. So let's say I start, Yahweh, oh hey, Yahweh, oh hey, and the next person thinks that's too high. So when they start their verse, they won't start at, yeah, but they'll start, Yahweh, oh hey, Yahweh, oh hey, I never stop and say, no, I started here, yeah. You need to start here. I never do that because to me that is taking away their autonomy. When they start, Yahweh, oh hey, Yahweh, oh hey, aha, the rest of us respond, Yahweh, oh hey, Yahweh, oh hey, aha. And then the following person, if they go back to Yahweh, oh hey, we go, Yahweh, oh hey. I mean, there's so much that happens in that time, in that moment that is empowering to that singer.
Yeah.
That, to me, that is of the utmost importance.
Well, there's loving beauty and strength in celebrating our imperfection, our different imperfections, right? That make up the whole of the
right. And the in family. That song, there's a part that we go, and it's an intentional moment to laugh at ourselves if we screwed it up, because there's a part of that song that the drum beat and the vocals are supposed to be kind of syncopated, like kind of like a crow hop feel, if you know what a crow hop is. And then when people start it, sometimes they will put them together. So now the beat is happening in the same beat as the vocals, not syncopated anymore. And when we get to the ha, ha, I'll always turn and, you know, kind of make a look at them like, ha, ha, you know, I gotcha. or, you know, and these things that happen when we're singing in this group, you know, are, again, intended to be like community building. And we hope that by singing how we do, including kids. Sometimes we have kids running around at our feet, you know, when we're trying to perform. Yeah. Kids needing to, you know, get the mom's attention or the grandma's attention. And we just keep singing. And it sounds just like it was in the studio. And other times, well, maybe things went a little different, you know. Again, it's more about empowering people to use their voice with good intention.
I'm hoping to get to know more about how this happens, and we'll find out more on Sunday. Liz Jokola, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble, Liz, with Jokola.
Jokola?
Jokola. Simple enough.
Here, let me put you at ease. I say Jokola, my mom says Jokola, and my dad says Jokola. Each of us say it differently, and none of us are actually correct, because in Finland it would be Jokola.
We'll let that be the last word in the pronunciation because, yes, I was wielding two of the three pronunciations routinely in my head while I talked to you, Liz, which was distracting, but your story was riveting about the work that the Oshkegijik singers do for their community, and we're going to get to share in a little bit of that. As of now, I know you can't tell me how many of you will be there. Maybe you won't be able to tell me which songs might be in your set list, but we're all going to find out together, and that's going to be pretty darn fun, and I'm looking forward to it immensely. So thank
you.
Thanks for joining us in our celebration of community that we're looking for new horizons, and including Oshkegijik and other Native performers, as well as inviting people to our Native Nations Expo. We're hoping for some great conversations and sharing, and you're a big part of that. You inspired us last year. We couldn't get you last year because we had weather get in the way, and we're so glad that we got you this year. Yeah. Isn't that funny that weather was a big factor last year? Now we're worried that it'll be such a nice day, no one will want to come indoors, Liz, but they'll be there, I promise. And we'll see you then, I hope. Thanks so much for joining us on KTWH.
Sure, thank you for having me.
Be well, and we'll see you soon.
Miigwech.
Bye now. That was bye-bye. Liz Jacola from Fond du Lac, one of the founders of the group Oshkegijik Singers, who will be performing at our Cabin Fever Reliever on Sunday, March 10th. Showtime at 3 p.m. You can get tickets at the door or online. Look for the pre-sale tickets available at our website, ktwh.org.